It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
And the roundtable today is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood, it's a casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brings you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. And although it's an everyday kind of place, tell you what, the food is incredible. The quality, unbelievable. Service will just blow you away. Homemade soups, burgers, steaks, seafood. There's something on the menu for everyone. One of my very favorite places, and it was one of my favorite places before George Schindler and his group became sponsors of this show. So we love having them aboard in the roundtable. And we love having with us Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. A weird game, Doug. I mean, disappointment is the first word that comes to mind. I'm a little cranky about it, too. But it's also bizarre in so many ways because, as Nathan did so well, he broke down a lot of numbers that should have told a story about a Browns victory yesterday. Instead, we're talking about a 41-20 loss. Doesn't make sense.
Well, it's about making plays. And then we made plays, and we got a 13-point lead. Then they started making plays, and, you know, all of a sudden, and what the second quarter, we had the ball for over 11 minutes, and they scored 31 points. I mean, that's kind of unheard of.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. I mean, nothing that you look at, if you just looked at the box score and went through it, and then you would never in a million years think they scored 41 points.
Well, the thing about the Bengals, they've always made a living off of turnovers. I mean, that's the thing that Marvin harps on down there. And in the end run, the screw-ups with the punting game, you can count those as turnovers. Then you got the three interceptions, you got a fumble. You're not going to win with those kind of numbers.
Yeah, if the Browns block on two punts, we may be talking about a different game today. I thought those were really the key plays in the game, obviously. And then the Harrison interception at 13-0 was just a momentum killer. But then again, the Browns had a chance to stop him, and the defense didn't do it right away either. So, yeah, there's a lot there. And, you know, Chudzinski called it atypical today, that second quarter. I can think of some more words to describe that. I mean, it was beyond bizarre.
It was awful. And you talk about that interception, and the Browns come out, they're up 13-0. Then they get the ball right back after that, force three and out, get it back. That interception kind of changed the momentum and was, in many ways, I think, maybe the third strike, as it were, to say, okay, we're not going to see the flawless or near flawless Jason Campbell we saw in the first two games. He had Jordan Cameron open in the end zone, missed him. The Greg Little play on third down was, I was telling the story earlier. I was watching it on my iPad in New York, and the connection wasn't perfect. So all I could see was Little coming across completely wide open. Campbell wind up to throw him the ball, and I go, touchdown! And then I said, wait a second, where's the ball? And he threw it into the line as opposed to just lofting it up in the air.
You're right. How many games have we seen, though, where you lament those missed opportunities early on, where you say, you know what, had they got a touchdown instead of a field goal, it's a different game.
Yeah, I think that's – you're right. It connects with other – things that we've seen before. At the same time, I do want to say this much in a positive vein. I think this team is definitely better than it played, but you have to know how to play and respond to those situations, Doug. You have to understand what is at stake. And we saw some people like Joe Hayden do what he did, and we saw some areas where this team looked to be ready to play that level of game. But overall, the majority of the team, I don't know that the attitude or the mindset met the situation.
Well, I mean, for a lot of them, they haven't been in that situation here, and you know, but I think you look at it and you look at the special teams, and I think that's where you know, when you start screwing up there, and you're giving them easy field position, you know, they've been mixing people around and having different people in there. And you know, it's you got young kids in there, and they make mistakes, and they made mistakes yesterday. I mean, of course, you got to give the Bengals credit because on the one where they picked the Yant, you know, it was a design play. They obviously saw something, and you know, to their credit, they took advantage of it.
I think we're all a little the disappointment is very obvious today, but I think we're all culpable too, and maybe building this game up to be being bigger than it was. Maybe we got a little over our skis on this. This is a team that had lost three of its past four games going into yesterday. And so I agree with Doug in that you know, this is a young team that's got to experience this for the first time, and maybe this is just, you know, part of the natural development and growth that is necessary.
And I think that's fine. I'm glad that it was built up that way because it was that important. They had a chance to do something very significant, and obviously it didn't go as well. Didn't mean to jump in there before you did. Go ahead.
No, the thing, I guess it kind of bothers you. You know, you looked at them and their injury report, you know, they lost Leon Hall, they lost Atkins, they lost Zeiler, and you say, well, you know, this kind of shifts our way. But then you go to the Green Bay game where they had three of their starting four linebackers down, a couple of receivers down, and you didn't compete in that one. You know, this team is a much better team, but it's still got a big step to go.
And I think part of one of the things that we were guilty of, and I think a lot of people just looking at the Browns would say, yeah, but that was a Brandon Whedon game. And it was almost as if everything that was wrong with the Browns could be swept under, well, that was in Brandon Whedon's game, and that was his fault. There are other problems. The offensive line did not play well in this game, and Brandon Whedon was not the quarterback. So I think that is maybe some of the things that happened there. And I will say this, and you said it earlier, one of the biggest tragedies to me in this game is that Joe Hayden had one of the great performances, I think, of all time. And if they go on to win this game, that would have been the big story. Joe Hayden, the leader, stepping up, playing his best football, completely takes A.J. Green out of that game, two interceptions, a pick six, and instead it's just kind of a footnote.
To the point of Brandon Whedon, I think that's part of the issue, Tom, with regard to Jason Campbell. There was a little bit of everything he did was in such a tight window. We're talking just two games, and effectively we're talking six quarters where he had looked more than competent. He had made some big plays. He was efficient. He avoided mistakes, all the things you wanted to see. But I think it was against the backdrop of how bad Brandon Whedon had performed that I think elevated what Campbell did to maybe an unnatural level. As Nathan pointed out, he really, in his career, had only put together two games.
I totally agree, and I think when you look at Brian Hoyer, you have to look at through a very similar prism on that. You know, was he really as good as he played, or is it because we were stacking that up against how poorly Brandon Whedon played? So this was the correction that we were afraid was going to happen with Jason Campbell. I also wonder, too, although he told Chudzinski, and Chudzinski said to us today that the ribs weren't an issue, I think the ribs may have been an issue because it didn't seem like he was as willing to maybe slide out of protection situations yesterday and maybe take advantage of some running situations as well.
Well, it also looked yesterday like he didn't want to make mistakes, but he ended up making mistakes by not doing it. Right. I mean, how many times did he throw deep? Once, you know, every other play was like check down Charlie. Yeah. And the throw to Gordon was, you couldn't have made a better throw.
That was gorgeous,
But, you know, neither team was really throwing the ball deep yesterday. The wind down there before the game, there was noticeable, but not that noticeable as that game in 2007 when we went over there.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And Doug, you nailed it when you talked about attitude and being ready for these types of situations. When you hear that the other team is missing key pieces, I think it gives you maybe an overinflated sense of your confidence.
And then you have success. But the early success really wasn't success because you had two opportunities in the red zone, you didn't get it in.
Exactly.
Correct. And that 0-for-3 on the game.
The field goal that should have been a touchdown, Nathan and I were texting during the game, and I said, when we didn't see the field goal, that was bad. And that puts to me the bad omen. I didn't feel good about the entire rest of the day from that. I didn't predict what would happen, but I just didn't feel good.
You've seen that game.
You've seen that game. And I remember even, you know, watching great football teams, you know, the 49ers in the 80s, early 90s, the Cowboys, when they would settle for field goals, that's losing football in big games. Settling for field goals when you're down in the red zone, down inside the 10, that is not the recipe for winning. And it certainly proved to be the case in this game for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, okay, so where you go from here in this thought process of how do we assess what is needed? Nathan suggested maybe we stop doing the show. I think that's not an option.
No, that's actually not what I suggested.
No, I understand. You brought it up though.
Way more positive here.
We were going to pull the plug. And the plug's right here. I just pull it. But Tom, in the interest of programming and selling commercials and everything, what do we say though about where this team is headed? What they can take away? Because you're going to hear the narrative now is about lessons learned, right? And it's about understanding what you're about. I mean, there's something with which this team can work, I think. But there are still a lot of pieces that we're reminded that still need to be filled.
I think Doug hit it on the nose before when he said this team is improved, but it's not quite ready for this moment. And that was my fear going into the game, was that some of the flaws and some of the little things that we had talked about over the the last few weeks, would be exposed. And I thought that's what happened yesterday. You know, the lack of a running game, still, once again, a problem. Sure, they got Obanaya free on a big run, but I thought there were plenty of other problems there.
Well, I mean, an outside running game. We're right. In between the tackles game, and until you attack the whole field, you know, it kind of condenses it for the defense. Then you go to the play action passes. Well, that's great, except when you're down by 20 points, nobody's, you know, buying the run fake. Right. So that just puts more pressure on the quarterback and makes it tougher on the offensive line. You know, defensively, I thought they played a heck of a game yesterday, for the most part, all things considered.
14 of the 18 drives of the Bengals went for less than 10 yards. I mean, they got off the field. The Bengals were 1 of 14 on third down.
Incredible.
I mean, out of 17 drives, I think 10 of them were
three and outs
or less.
Yeah. It was absolutely an unbelievable performance. And we were talking about how, you know, if you look at what you wanted them to do, pressure Dalton, have him make mistakes, get off the field on third down, they did that, and yet they still lost 41-20. So certainly a lot of lessons to be learned there. I still think, given the state of the AFC, which is not really a ringing endorsement for the AFC, they're still alive. I mean, they still have an opportunity. They're one game right now behind the wild card leader, 5-5, the Jets, who they will play later on in the season. What do you think the Browns need to do to turn around and get ready to play what is, again, a pretty big game against the Steelers?
I guess the good thing is that it's Steelers week, right? And this team needs to get over that hump as well. So I think from a coaching and a teachable moment standpoint, you know, it's good that they can get their attention right away, that this Steelers team, who, by the way, looked pretty darn good yesterday, suddenly has a little bit more of a running game. Big Ben seemed to be playing like Big Ben again. So I think it's a good thing that they can get refocused very quickly. Now, I'll be honest with you, Nathan, I never looked at this season as, wow, you know, they might be able to get to the playoffs. I expected to see some growth and some progress, and I think we've seen that through 10 games. So I think you have to look at the last six games the same way. Okay, can they handle this big moment when it arrives again? And I got news for you. It's almost here already.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is, right, Doug? I mean, Sunday is really a carbon copy of yesterday, this coming Sunday.
Well, yeah, and if you feel sorry for yourself, you're going to have your teeth right down your throat because these guys don't care.
No.
And there's a lot of the young kids that probably don't understand what a Steelers game is. I mean, Joe Thomas and DeQuell, they understand what it's all about. And and the shame of it is, you know, the town was, you know, it got piqued the interest, and now, you know, it's the same old, same old. And it's not the same old, same old, but it's going in the right direction. It's just not going at the pace that we're impatiently waiting for it to go.
Right.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's where I am on this. I don't buy that it's the same old, same old. As upset as I am over how things went yesterday, disappointed more than upset. And a little crotchety about the whole thing. It's not about saying, "Yep, this is what the Browns do to you. This is, they let you down.
No.
They get yourself." That is definitely not the story here. The story here is there is something upon which they can build. What I hope to see, though, is that they being the guys who aren't named Joe Thomas and aren't named DeQuell Jackson, because they do get it. But looking at the rest of this team and understanding Steeler week, but just what the six games should mean toward a building, even if it's they can only focus on one thing, try to get in the postseason, try to get in the playoffs. But in doing so, the biggest accomplishment, if they don't get there, and I think the chances are mm-hmm. against them,
sure.
is at least leave us feeling they've taken a step this year.
I firmly believe that the arrow is still pointed up, even after this game. There were a lot of things that you could take away from this game in isolation that were good. Yes, it's a game where you need to do it on special teams and offense as well as defense. They failed to do that. But when you look at, you know, the landscape for this team going forward in this last six games, they have an opportunity to at least hold serve with the Steelers. And if they do that in one of the two games with the Steelers, they can say, we've beaten everybody in our division. Nobody was better than us head-to-head in our division this year. We took care of business, and we're getting better. We're only getting better from here.
He's not crotchety, Vic. Look at him.
No, he's trying to keep
Peter positive here today.
Yes, exactly. That's why we've been kind of
yelling. He's very unhappy with me.
Well, you said it best early, Tom, and it's maybe a cautionary tale that we overplayed what the game was. It was an important game. We all did it. I'm as guilty as anyone. But not only was it a wishful thought that we had something important to talk about with this football team, exciting to talk about with this football team, and I don't want to let that go, but at the same time, you have to do that, I think, with a sense
in
of
measured
perspective.
Terms. Yeah, absolutely.
In measured terms.
Yeah.
And that, you know, biggest game since 2007. That's a fact. But I think, Doug, it got a little carried away.
Well, it might have. But by the same token, if you're going to, you know, go to where you want to go, you're going to have bigger games.
That's right.
So
yeah.
You've got to experience
step one,
the thing. And in doing so, hey, if all the hype's there, you know, you got to live up to the hype.
And it's not like I came out of that game, and I don't know if you guys did. I don't feel like Cincinnati's that good. I was not impressed by them at all. They capitalized, which is what good teams do to win games.
Division.
They capitalized on mistakes and gifts that were left at their front door.
And I won't name names, but I talked to several players in the locker room today who feel the very same way you do, Nathan, is that, you know what, we kind of let one get away. Hey, we block a little bit better on some punts. We recover a fumble or two. We seize those opportunities early that you guys talked about, capitalizing on first and goal with the three and score a touchdown. So I don't think anybody walks away from that game thinking, you know, that we can't play with those guys.
I just hope there is the realization that this Steeler team, that at least they're playing
better.
They're not that 0-4 team anymore.
No, not at all.
And they're getting that Steeler look. Not the Steeler look we saw last year either. We're getting a Steeler look that looks pretty interesting, pretty scary, pretty tough. And hopefully the Browns can match that. And we haven't touched on this. Just want to make one more point. Home game versus road game. I mean, the road mentality for this team, except for what we saw in Minnesota, that's an issue, Doug. They've got to get over that.
Well, it's an issue. But, you know, yesterday they took that crowd out in the first
early, quarter. What they were supposed to do early.
Right, hang Dalton. But, you know, and then they, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they let them back in. And, you know, it all comes down to consistency, and if you don't get it out of the quarterback position, it's usually not going to be a good afternoon.
All right, that was the roundtable, and gentlemen, thank you very much. Doug Deacon, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, great job as always. Today's roundtable again served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Please catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, we've got much more coming up for you. You're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns shortly.
Is that the Rosewood Grill by Kay Amin and the other guy?
Yeah, the other guy, you mean George? Is that who you're talking about? Your buddy George Schindler? Hey, don't get him upset. He may actually bring food by here on Thursday, Doug. So, and you're in on that. All right. We've got more coming up. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR.